Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Linda Ockhor, Jenna here with another SBCN Small Biz Podcast. I'm one of the co-founders of the SBCN. First of all, I want to give a shout out to our amazing sponsor of this podcast, Brad Poulos, top-selling author of the Small Business Operators Manual. Today, yes, I'm always very excited, but today I'm even more excited. I've managed to snag our other co-founder of the SBCN, Dave Ockhor, Jenna, to chat with us about hackers on Facebook. Good morning, Dave.
Well, hey, everyone. I'm glad to be snagged.
So, Dave, you don't often come on the podcast. I know you're very busy in the corporate world, but a lot of people lately are saying, my Facebook page, my Facebook account has been hacked. What shall I do?
Yeah, I mean, it's to say it's an epidemic is maybe the right word. So, yeah, there are certainly lots of people that are suffering, I guess is the right word, suffering with the fact that they're having their either their account taken over or a myriad of other things that people just put down under the umbrella of hacking.
I wish we could find another word for hacking, because what is the terminology of hacking? Where did it come from?
Well, curiously, originally it was actually a positive thing. So hacking was originally the art of sort of basically working on something, right? You were hacking on your computer, you were hacking a woodwork project, whatever it is. And at some point along the line, it kind of became adopted by media to describe the more negative aspects of doing those things. So if you were hacking something, you were breaking it, as opposed to its original meaning, which was more you're building it, you're constructing it.
Okay, that makes sense. So recently, quite a few of my connections on Facebook said that, well, I want to do this in two steps. I want to talk about the bad guys who actually, you know, use your photo and somehow make another account in your name, but then the person whose account is still has an account. And then I want to move on to, I think, the more serious, where they take over your account completely and how we can, you know, protect in both senses if possible. So, yeah, one of my friends recently said that there was another Facebook account in their name. Let's call them Fred Blogs. They had the photo of Fred Blogs. They was asking all Fred Blogs friends to connect with them, and they were warning us all. So how can we protect ourselves from this, or can we?
Yeah, this is a good one. So a lot of times when people, you know, say, hey, my Facebook account's been hacked, or my Instagram has been hacked, or whatever the social media platform is, most of the time that it's actually not that. Most of the time it's what we would call a doppelganger account. So some threat actor or other has created a brand new account on one of those platforms, and they just claim to be you. So they assume your identity. They'll create that new account with your name. They'll go to your real profile, and they'll just take a copy of your photo, and they'll upload that to their photo. So for all intents and purposes, they look and just seem like you. And as you say, you're quite right. What they do then is to basically go through the friends list or the contact list of the victim, so to speak, and try and connect with all of those folks. And why do they do that? Well, they're trying to basically be you. They're trying to lull people into connecting to them, thinking that it's the victim. And then from there, they can strike up conversations and get other information that they deem valuable.
Well, in my case, I'm a bit cleverer than that. I use the privacy thing. If you go into, you know, your account on Facebook, you've got settings, privacy, and all these different things. So I've got it so that actually I'm a bit mean. If anybody wants to see who I'm friends with, they can't see because it's private, and I don't want them to know that. So why doesn't everybody do that? And then at least they can't go to your friends list.
Yeah, I think it's an important point. Most of the platforms do have some privacy settings. Now, the downside is they're usually really complicated and very unwieldy. I think Facebook is the poster child for complexity when it comes to this. But those options are there. Go seek them out and see if you can work your way through, you know, what they are, what it means to actually turn some of them on. And you're right, not displaying your friends list publicly, i.e. unless you're actually connected to me, for example, you mm-hmm. don't see my friends list. Mm-hmm. That's a great first step, because it means if those attackers are setting up those doppelganger accounts, they have no idea who your friends are necessarily.
And I know you're the great one. I don't want to say you're wrong because I'm in front of my laptop at the moment, but I think even my best friends, the friends I love the most, can only see the people who are also connected, and they can't see my whole list of Facebook connections completely.
Right. So they see your mutual connections, mutual. I think, is the phraseology that Facebook uses. So if they're connected to someone and you're connected to that same person, they'll see that, but not anyone else.
Yeah. So I hide all my hidden friends from you, Dave, but I wonder why. We'll talk about that another day.
That's where they are.
But I want to know why Facebook can't stop someone becoming Fred Bloggs, stealing the pictures and photos and stuff. And also, why can't they stop it? But I've heard some people say they tell Facebook about it and Facebook doesn't care.
Yeah, so I think from Facebook's business model point of view, right, their entire business is built on making it easy, like low friction for people to sign up. So the more people they have on the platform, the better it is for Facebook as a business. They can monetize based on the number of people that are on the platform. So they make it tremendously easy for you to create an account, to actually sign up and be on that platform. That means that they skip any kind of verification in there, right? So you can type in any name you want. You can put any picture you want. There is no verification step required. Because if you think about it, if you did introduce those things, it would actually be quite complicated to sign up. And that would turn people off and they wouldn't get the numbers that they want. So I think Facebook's approach is probably the pragmatic one. They're basically relying on their user base to report issues. So let's say someone sets up an account that looks like me. They'll be relying on me or my actual friends to report that profile, and then Facebook can do some kind of investigation to work out whether they think that is the real me or a doppelganger.
Now, I've been a bit naughty, I haven't done my homework, but one of my very, very good friends on Facebook who's very savvy actually said there is a way to verify your Facebook account, but it was a long process, and I haven't done it because I didn't know. Then, when he needed help because he had a verified account when he had problems, again, I'm sorry, Facebook, but he said he wasn't helping. But I want to move on to the more important one. One of our very good friends, Dave, you know who it is, actually had his whole Facebook account, profile, whatever, stolen, couldn't get it back, had to make a brand new account, lost most of the friends I've got over the years, because if you have thousands, you can't remember who they are. And again, he said Facebook was no help. So listen, how does somebody take your account off you completely and you can't get back into it?
Yeah, this is far more impactful than the case we were talking about before. Because, I mean, usually in the case of those doppelganger accounts, people report them and most of the time they get taken down. What we're talking about here, though, is someone actually gaining access to your account. And to be fair, this can happen on virtually all the online systems and online technologies that we use today. The reason it's more impactful is because according to the platform, like as far as Facebook or Instagram or any of these platforms would know, the person using it is you, right? They have sufficiently passed enough tests to validate that they are, you know, let's say it's me and I'm the victim. They will prove that they are Dave or Kwell Jenner. Now, most of the time that is because the way you prove who you are is typically with a password, right? We've all seen them. You log in with your username and your password. Passwords are terrible. They are really not a very good way of protecting your account. And so it is the case that a lot of threat actors either have lists of passwords that have been stolen from many, many attacks over the years. They can just sit there and guess them or have their computers guess them. Or in some cases, they can trick you into you handing over your password to them directly.
Now, in this case, our good friend found out what had happened, and I've been telling people about this for years, but what I find is when you create awareness, the people who know, and the people who don't know go, ha, 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 it never happened to me. He was not one of those people. But yeah, he played or took part in some kind of game or thing that you can do on Facebook, And basically, I don't know. I didn't go into it because I've been really busy. That's how they stole his account. But how can they do that via one of the many games things going on Facebook?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it, but I think probably the most basic one is to use a game to extract information from you that is then useful for the attacker to go and try and recover your account password. So think about this. If you forget your password to one of these services, you click the little I forgot my password link. Now, in some cases, some of these services will ask you a few security questions, right? What street did you grow up on? You know, what was your first pet? What was the model of your first car? Those kind of things.
Yeah.
So if you design a game where the answers to the questions in the game are the very same answers to those security questions, as you're playing, you're basically giving up that information. So the attacker can then try and do an account recovery. So basically get a new password from your account. And they probably have some of those questions. Now, they may not have them all, but they probably have enough that after two or three or four tries, you know, they may be successful. So that's one sort of technique that attackers use. The other is literally just stealing passwords. So as you play some of these games or you use some of these applications and things that pop up on these social platforms, some of those contain, you know, malicious code. Some of them are not quite as trustworthy as you would think. And they actually try and extract passwords for your account directly from your computer. So then the attacker has your password. They can just log in as you whenever they want. The third category, I think, is probably very, very common. And that is if you use the same password on, say, your Facebook account that you use for the pet store, for your online account in the pet store. If the pet store gets compromised, or the bookstore, I'm not picking on pets. Let's say a bookstore, because it's probably a bit more realistic, at least here in Canada. We had a large bookstore that sort of fell prey to this. So let's say you have an online account at the bookstore, you use a password there, and you use that same password somewhere else. As soon as the bookstore is compromised and the bad guy or girl has all of those passwords, they can just retry those passwords on every site imaginable. They call them sort of password reuse attacks. So the idea is, hey, if I know Linda uses this password for Apple, maybe she uses it for Facebook. Maybe she uses it for Twitter. Maybe she uses it for something else.
Yeah.
And so they just go along like that and eventually find success.
Wow. So what can we do if we don't want to use a password then on Facebook? That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Well, my best piece of advice, and it feels like a broken record because I think myself and everybody that works in my field, in the cybersecurity field, have been saying for a long time now, passwords are dead. We need to get off of passwords. Think of it this way. If you assume that threat actors have every single password on planet Earth, you would be correct. There are no passwords you can think of, no clever schemes you can come up with that haven't already been thought of and already catalogued. So they have everything. It's just a matter of time of using it. So really the age of passwords is dead. And what we're trying to move toward is either eliminating them altogether or adding something else to the mix. We call the adding part multi-factor authentication. So the idea is if I want to prove I am who I say I am, you know, I have to give you my password and something else that only I would have. So there are many ways of doing this. The most basic is, you know, have the system send you a text message when you're logging in to your phone number. You then type in the number that's on your text message, and it's another way of proving you are who you say you are. Is that the best system? No, but it's probably the easiest and simplest one. And even if it's not brilliant, it's usually available on nearly every single account. So whatever your platforms you're using, go look to see if there's that multi-factor authentication option.
Is that the only way to do it?
No, there are also other ways of doing it. There are so-called authenticator apps. So they'll generate the numbers rather than doing a text message. They're a little bit better still because there are attacks that actually redirect your text messages. So if you're an attacker, and I know that you're using these codes via text message. Well, if I can redirect your text messages to me, I now get the codes. So that doesn't help. So those authenticator apps help with that one. There are other mechanisms as well called push. So the idea being you try to log in and it sends you a message and says, hey, it looks like you're trying to log in. Is this you? And it maybe sends it to a mobile app that you have. Really good example for that one is YouTube. If you're trying to log into YouTube, for example, and you have a YouTube app on your phone, you type in your username and password in YouTube, and the next thing is it pops up on your phone saying, hey, it looks like you're trying to log in from a Mac in wherever, Ontario. Mm, nice. Is it you? So that's another scheme too.
So for Facebook, I don't think I use that. Do I use something else?
I actually don't know what you have on your Facebook account.
So we have a manager thingy. I don't know what it's called. I'm not very techy.
A password manager.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's another good option. If you're relying on the password being good, the best password is one you don't have. The second best password is one you don't know. So the idea behind a password manager is rather than you trying to remember passwords for 50, 60 different websites, whatever it is that you have, you basically remember one really good one that gets you into your password manager. And think of it like a password diary. It keeps a list of all of the passwords for all of your websites. And because you don't need to know them, it can type them in for you, for example. You can make them those passwords as long and complicated and difficult to guess as you like. So yeah, you use a password manager. I use one as well. It means that I have no idea what the password is for my Facebook account. I don't know what the password is for virtually all of my accounts. But I do know that it is in that that one place.
So the chances of our password manager thing, whatever it is, app, whatever, being compromised is still more than if we use the two-factor authentication.
Yes, it's non-zero. So the chance of your password manager being compromised is unfortunately down to the strength of the one password you use to enter into your password manager. So yes, it is not the case that using a password manager completely removes all of the risk in this thing. It's a better way of doing it than trying to remember them all in your head. So if you think about, you know, when you go to a website, it says type in a create a new password or whatever. You just stand there at the screen for like 10 seconds. You're like, what's a good password? And I guarantee you, you'll spend 20 minutes and everything you think of will be terrible. The only half decent password is one that's just a complete random bunch of letters, numbers, symbols, just gobbledygook.
But I suppose you and I should change over to the two-factor authentication when we get time because we're so busy. But there's no excuse. I think I had my, can you remember, Dave, was it my Facebook account or my Twitter account? Somebody came up with Linda Rock or Jenna, but they had a hyphen. They didn't have a hyphen, they had Rock. And I think it was Twitter. And I mean, nobody can be me, because there's only three of us with that name, but I'm so wonderful and my brand is so fantastic, I have to show off because nobody shows off of me. They couldn't be me for long, but I did tell the Twitter people, I don't know whether they did anything, they disappeared.
Yeah, and all of these platforms, I mean, they have both automated mechanisms looking for these kind of things, right? I mean, there are certainly telltale signs. You know, it's unusual, for example, for an account to be created on Monday and by Wednesday they have all the exact same friends as another account that's been there for 3 years. That's something the platforms know, right? So they have technology looking for those kind of things automatically. Plus, like I said earlier, you have the people that are reporting issues to them. So there is a constant war going on between, you know, the scammers and the evil bad guys and girls and the social media platforms themselves.
But really, we've got to be sensible. And I'm afraid I'm not being mean to anybody who's listening to the podcast. Well, I suppose I am being mean, but a lot of people are not sensible and we're a bit complacent. I'm going to put me in that thing as well sometimes, even though I'll run to you for help then. So we've got to stop being complacent. We've got to protect ourselves a bit better. And two-factor authentication is the best way to go. So I suppose, if anybody is listening to the podcast, which I know you are, but basically, can you listen to what we're saying in the podcast? And instead of, you know, playing these silly games on Facebook and instead of, you know, bemoaning that somebody stole your password, read some of the posts I put out there. I'm always putting stuff out there. And then, you know, go to your IT person and say, how can you help me, you know, if you want some advice. But don't be complacent because I am constantly, you know, people do ask me constantly, Dave, you know, how can I help now? My account has been stolen. I say, well, didn't you read my post or somebody else's post? And they say no. So stop being complacent. Find out what you can do if you want a secure account. And I'm sure, Dave, that no one should have the same password if they're going to stick to a password. on any social media account as they use to get into their financial institution. Oh,
100%. I mean, don't share it with anything else, right? A trap a lot of people fall into is like they'll pick a really, I don't know, easy to crack or easy to guess password for the pet store because their argument will be, well, like, it's a pet store, who cares? We're like, yeah, but if someone breaches the pet store, where else did you use that password, right? and that becomes a problem. Or worse still, you know, people will pick a password based on some scheme and they think they're really clever. They've come up with this amazing scheme that no other human being on the planet thought before. You know, maybe my password will be the name of the platform, the year that I logged in and my pet's name or something like that, right? I can assure you, you know, evil bad guys and girls and even us on the defensive side, we know every single one of those tricks. Definitely. We have it all automatically programmed in software. So, for example, if I'm doing a security assessment and maybe one of those steps along the way might be, you know, can I break into an account? You know, I literally have software that I just press a few buttons and it tries millions and millions of passwords using all of these tricks one after another. Until it's successful.
I know I can't do that because Ella is our cat, who we both love, Dave, even though you say you don't love her. Everybody knows Ella because I put her on Facebook a lot. She's a little star now. And I recently shared how long I've been on Twitter, how long I've been on LinkedIn. So if I use that kind of rubbish, well, obviously you'd be very annoyed with me. You know what? This is a great conversation. So I hope some people at least listen to us and try and help themselves before they bemoan they've been hacked. Thank you for your time, Dave, and we'll have to work on another podcast. The one I like the best is, you know, the ones where basically you get an email and people are still click crazy and they're still clicking and giving out information that way. But we haven't got time today, so will you come back another time?
I will, because there's actually quite a lot of work being done in this space. Like I said earlier, the best password is the one you don't have. Companies like Apple and Google and a bunch of others are working really hard to eliminate passwords altogether. So they will become a thing of the past, hopefully.
So you're not talking about no passwords and two-factor
authentication?
Yeah. That will still be around, you're saying, or that will be gone as well?
I think the winds of change are coming. We hope that there will be no more usernames and passwords. So I would say maybe 5 to 7 years from now, the idea of logging into something with a username and password, I hope, will feel so alien to us because we will be used to just pressing a button on a phone.
Ooh, we should talk about that next time, Dave. Thank you for your time. We've got to go now. And again, thank you to our sponsor, Brad Poulos, and it's goodbye from me.